The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. Tuesday, September 24th. Week three is in the books. This is CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm the host. We got a super friend show. Pretty excited. Always fun to have another chat with my pals here. Ryan Wilson, John Breach, and Sean Wagner-McGough. What's up, fellas?
As the number one super friend, I would like to be the first to wish Sean a happy birthday. Wow. I know where I rank on his list of super friends in this podcast. I know where you rank, Brinson. And as the guy at the top, I just want to throw it out and start off there.
I mean, I got to say, the fact that I told Brinson 3 minutes ago before we started recording that he could give me a birthday shout out and then he didn't do it and you got in ahead of him, that's both impressive on your part and, frankly, a little disappointing from Brinson.
I think it's predictable.
Thankfully, there's a way for Brinson to make it up to me. It's to put something in the mail.
Hey, Brinson, let me ask you this.
Sean, you can't mail drugs across the country. So,
by the way, can I just point out, nobody was seeing this, but Sean like blushed when Breach wished him a happy birthday, even though he'd asked for a happy birthday wish 3 minutes before.
Sean's very
sentimental. Like, oh, me? Oh, guys.
So,
thanks, Breach. I appreciate it.
Happy birthday, Sean.
Happy birthday, Sean. A couple questions.
Sean is 27, and for his 27th birthday, I'll find a way to get a stupid.
No.
Wow, I'm very surprised that you credited me with my proper age, and you were going to say Sean's 21, and he's about to go out for his first drink tonight or something.
I'm not going to ramp up we go back and forth with each other. It's a bit of a bit. Like we all like to joke around with each other, but somebody DM'd me. I was like, yeah, it's a little much. Okay. So maybe take it down a notch. So I'm going to take it down a notch. Also very exciting. So I was
it HR that DM'd you?
Yeah.
No. Sean, I'm getting you a Tinder subscription for your birthday.
Honestly, Breach, I would take it.
Okay. Good.
Listen.
Do you have to pay for a subscription for Tinder?
You just get more like you
he can knows
see who likes you and stuff. There's just more.
There's more.
So, wait, listen. I would like to say something. You've interrupted me 12 times, and this is very important. What were you guys doing when you were 27?
Oh,
I got married when I was 27, so Sean is not up to snuff with me yet. And look how successful I am. Breach, what were you doing 10 years ago or 11 years ago?
I was covering high school sports in Atlanta, Georgia when I was 27.
Who was the most important person you interviewed back then that's now famous? Or maybe not famous now, but they were then.
You know, I talked to Matt Ryan. He was second year Falcons. Yeah. I talked to Charlie White, her sister, who was a high school basketball coach for one of the girls' teams in the area. That was another little interesting connection.
Brinson, you were your senior year of college.
that's roughly correct. was it 2008? No. I mean, I was working with you, man. I was at Fan House.
Oh, God, you were. That's right.
Yeah, I was living in Winston-Salem, and as my wife has called it, your sad little apartment with your cat.
That's when you met John Daly. You wore that stupid hat to the Hooters.
Yeah, bro, my brossom.com had it. Yeah, I was writing for a bunch of websites. And when I interviewed,
my closest comp is Brinson. Here, yep. Unfortunately.
But wow. Look, you're gonna have
dark days ahead.
Oh, yeah. Wait, I just thought of two people I interviewed that I want to throw out real quick because they're real random. I interviewed the guy from Cash Cab
Oh, I love that guy. Oh.
Well, he was doing a stand-up comedian tour. I didn't know he was a stand-up comedian. So he was doing little places around, and he showed up in Atlanta. And I interviewed Tom Green, and it was the least funniest or entertaining interview I've ever been a part of in my life, which was mildly surprising.
I think I'd probably left for that travel website at that point. So, I guess I'd already interviewed Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade was the first ever, athlete interview I did. He was incredibly gracious over the phone. Anyway, let's move along.
Happy birthday, Sean.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Dads.
Yeah, you're welcome. And your cousin, Breach. Bears and Redskins played a game of football on Monday night. It was actually more exciting than I think most people really anticipated. Final score, 31, Bears 31, Redskins 15. The Bears covered easily. I won my picks pool. Woo! Exciting. But Jay Gruden now falls to 0-3. That Redskins under that I think we harped on a lot before the season looks pretty good. 6.5 wins. I mean, they're going to struggle to get to 7 wins at this point. The Bears 2-1 now, and the defense was outstanding. Would you like to take a victory lap on the a birthday victory lap on the defensive regression topic, Sean?
I will do it for that, but like to be honest, I'm not that excited about what I saw. Even though Trubisky played his best performance of the season, I thought a lot of that credit goes to Matt Nagy for drawing up a lot of easy throws. I mean, his first two touchdowns were two of the easiest touchdowns that any quarterback on the planet could have thrown. And I mean, he in the second half, you kind of saw the old Trubisky pop up, and the interception that he threw to Josh Norman in the end zone intended for Allen Robinson was as bad of a red zone interception that I think you will see. And it kind of briefly let the Redskins back into the game to the point where we were going to report this podcast early and we had to kind of hold off because it looked like the Redskins might pull off this miracle comeback. So my takeaway is that I don't think I learned anything from this game. The Bears defense is going to do this to bad quarterbacks. They're going to pick off guys 3 times, which is what they did to Case Keenum. They're going to get after quarterbacks who are behind bad offensive lines. And the Redskins could not block Leonard Floyd or Khalil Mack most of the night. And that was really the root of the problems. And this Bears offense should have had a good game against a Redskins defense that has underperformed to this point in the season. I want to see this type of Trubisky performance against a good team before I celebrate it. This is the kind of game I expected them to win, but I don't walk away from this game suddenly feeling like, oh, the Bears are back on track. The Bears are going to the Super Bowl. It's a win they should have gotten, but I want to see them do it next week against the Vikings.
Yeah.
I'll say what I've said the previous weeks talking about the Bears. And I actually sort of second-guessed myself during the middle of the game when I thought this. But if I'm Matt Nagy, I'm thinking about Chase Daniel. Because as Sean pointed out, anyone can throw those touchdown passes we saw in the first half. Sean could throw those touchdown passes blindfolded left-handed. Tim Tebow could throw those touchdown passes right-handed. I mean, he didn't do anything that blew you away. He was still wildly inaccurate. He still sometimes holds the ball too long. It felt like Nagy was trying to cultivate a game plan where the ball got out of his hands quickly, and sometimes it didn't, sometimes it did. But if you're going to be competitive in this division, which is suddenly really good because of our guy Matt Patricia turning things around in Detroit, then I do wonder if Chase Daniel is the answer. And then if the comeback to that is, well, what if he isn't the answer? Well, then you take him out, because if you're already considering Trubisky not being the answer, you have to have some other alternative. And maybe that's Chase Daniel, maybe it's someone else. But you can't just stick with Trubisky because he's a guy you drafted in the first round, second overall trade up to get, even though he continues to be lower than replacement level week in and week out.
I mean, I think you're doing a little bit of a disservice to Trubisky tonight. I mean, I'm not going to say he was the most accurate passer. His ball placement was off, but he only threw 6 incompletions. I thought he was okay. And we saw Chase Daniel
That's
a couple
a terrible
times.
Terrible defense, though, Sean.
We saw Chase Daniel a couple times last season.
Just a quick aside. I can tell that Sean's voice is a little bit lower. Like his volume is a little bit lower than it normally would be. It's because
I'm more mature because I'm turning 27.
Yeah, mature.
It's because his elderly neighbor slipped a note.
Well, not elderly.
Is it like your age?
I haven't met him, but I think he's like
his neighbor has
probably
a regular
10 years older
job.
Than me.
He has a 9-to-5 job, and he I understand his neighbor not wanting someone to yell. And to Sean's credit, Sean was actually quite what's the word? Willing to listen to his neighbor and trying to meet in the middle.
Yeah,
so I get that.
Yeah, that makes you the bad neighbor, Sean. Now you're just going to be his whipping boy.
Look, I apologized to my neighbor. I blamed it entirely on Brinson, saying that when he yells at me, I got to yell back. But yeah, you're going to get a more mature, a more subdued Sean on this podcast for the foreseeable future.
Brinson, what's the over-under in minutes until Sean explodes?
Well, look, it's a lot easier to be nice and calm after your team whips up on like the Bears basically went out to the schoolyard playground as a fifth grader and played a basketball against a first grader. I mean, like that, like congratulations on beating up on the Redskins. Did you, I don't know if you guys saw the Roto World tweet out, you know, Roto World, football thing is like automatically tweets out their headlines. It was Keenum Wet's bed with three interceptions and three fumbles on Monday Night Football. Wet's bed. That's tough, man. Yeah. But it's true. Look, I don't, you can't bench Trubisky.
Thank you.
It's insane. What are you talking about? They're 2-1.
He just came off the best performance of the season that he's had.
That's the indictment. John has something to say. That's probably.
I was going to say, you know who you can bench, but I'll let Brinson finish his point.
Look, Trubisky is bad against good defenses and good against bad defenses. And you got some bad defenses coming up.
He wasn't good tonight.
He was fine. He had one terrible pass. He was good. He was fine. He had one awful, really effing awful pass that he shorted and Josh Norman committed pass interference.
No, he didn't.
And it cost me a bunch of money, and that's fine. And it cost me my fantasy win. That's fine. Whatever. Troops. But look, that was his only bad pass. That was his only huge mistake of the night. What else did he do, Ryan?
Sean, would you admit that he airmailed a couple passes downfield that he should have?
Especially in the beginning. There was a free play down the left sideline he had in the first half that I can't remember who it was. Anthony Miller, I think it was, running free with four steps on the guy. And it hit Anthony Miller's hand, but it would have been a spectacular one-handed catch. And those are the kind of throws that I don't feel any confidence when he actually lets it go, that he can actually hit those with consistency. So, look, again, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, Trubisky's MVP candidate, we're on track. But I think we saw some progress today.
He only attempted two balls more than 20 yards down the field. The one, the touchdown to Taylor Gabriel, I think you can say it was a pretty good throw. I mean, like Gabriel had to make a great adjustment on it, but you know, it was a difficult throw to make. And look, he's still young. I mean, this is just burying this guy and going to Chase Daniel in week.
I'm not burying him. Just saying you have to consider it.
And they just won.
Against who?
Because their defense forced five turnovers.
Six, but
you won't win. But that defense is going to be there still.
Yeah, you don't bench your quarterback after a win like that. That's insane.
I didn't say after the win. I said this is something you have to consider if you're Matt Nagy because he keeps doing the same things he's done for a year and a half.
By the way, my dog likes to run out on our deck and stare at my neighbor's house and bark at like 11:40 p.m. And he always, our neighbor Dan is like the nicest guy. He's like,
oh, so you're the bad neighbor in this.
Wait, so he's like, is your neighbor nicer than Sean's neighbor?
Yeah, he's like, he like told AK one time, he's like, yeah, George really likes to bark sometimes at night, doesn't he? It's like, sorry, Dan.
That's what a neighbor says when he's planning to murder your dog.
I for the record,
What was your point about benching quarterback? Oh, were you going to say bench Keenum maybe?
I was going to say bench Keenum. But first, I want to say that Sean, as our resident Bears fan in Guru, I'm surprised at how little credit you're giving the Bears for winning this game. Just saying, like, oh, it's just the Redskins. I mean, yes, the Redskins are winless, but if you watch what they did in the first 2 weeks against the Eagles, that was a 21-20 game in the fourth quarter. That was a game the Redskins absolutely could have won. They played the Cowboys last week. That was a 21-14 game in the fourth quarter that the Redskins were in and could have won. So two decent teams where the Redskins, I mean, this team could be 2-0 if the ball had bounced a little bit differently, but probably not because the Cowboys ended up winning by 10 points, I think. But the point is, I think the Redskins are a little bit better than maybe you guys are giving them credit for. And the Bears just pummeled them. I mean, this is like five uppercuts to the face to start the game. And Washington never had a chance to be in this game. I mean, all of us were ready to turn this thing off by halftime. And then the Redskins just lingered and like made us watch it. Then ready to turn off in the third quarter. They lingered a little more. And then watched it in the fourth quarter, even though nobody wanted to because we knew the Bears were going to win. But the fact, like, this kind of dominating win over a team that has not been dominated this year, I think is impressive.
Let me add quickly before you go on, Sean. Just let me add. Trubisky's ranked, like, 29th in DVA, according to Football Outsiders. But he's ahead of – coming into week three, he's ahead of Kirby Cousins, Baker Mayfield, and Jameis Winston. So
that's a good thing. What I was going to say is I think at this point in the season, three games, obviously, a lot can change. But I look at the Bears and Vikings in very similar ways, because I think these are two teams that can beat up on bad teams because they have such good defenses, but it's the quarterback against a good defense that I don't really have a lot of faith in. And, you know, in Washington, a lot of that has to do with an offensive line. And that's actually why I like the Bears' chances against the Redskins, or sorry, against the Vikings. That said, Akeem Hicks did leave the game with a knee injury. He did not return. I think that is something to keep an eye on. And also worth noting, the Bears' offensive line, I think, has been really disappointing to this point in the season. In a way, more disappointing than Trubisky, because we knew there were question marks about Trubisky. I mean, I thought this offensive line was going to be a pretty good unit because they were last year, and they have not been quite the same. And they were without their right tackle tonight because he was ill. But we look at a lot of David Montgomery fantasy owners complaining about his lack of yards, and I know he ripped off a couple at the end. I think a lot of that is because of the run blocking has been so bad. He's breaking two or three tackles every single carry he gets.
I can't handle this tiny, this like soft Sean. I can't handle it.
It's like pillow talk that you hear on soft radio, on adult radio.
We need like NPR background music because he's basically just doing NPR right now.
All things considered.
But I will not raise my voice.
Yeah. So, by the way, Jay Gruden said he was not going to plan on making, he's not planning on making a change at the quarterback position. They're going to go with, Ben Wett, Case Keenum instead of Dwayne Haskins.
For me, crushing, Trubes, I thought Case Keenum did pretty well with what he had, which is not a lot.
What? Were we watching the same game?
I'm going to start yelling now. Here's the thing. And I kind of agree with Wilson, not so much that I don't think this is an Eli Manning, Daniel Jones situation. If I look at the Redskins schedule and I'm Jay Gruden, I just say, you know what? They play the Patriots in week 5. And I say, you know what? I'm just going to keep Case in till week 5. I don't care what happens. I'm not benching them. And then after that, they play the Dolphins, the 49ers, you know, two games where Dwayne Haskins is not going to get murdered. You cannot put Dwayne Haskins in against the Chicago Bears defense. That would have been absolutely like killer for his career. You just don't want to start your rookie quarterback off in that situation. So I do think that he made the right decision tonight, not putting him in, because it just would have been annihilation and Haskins would have had zero confidence going forward. So,
and by the way, if you take out the Statue of Liberty fumble and the fumble jumping over the line of scrimmage, he had a great night.
The fumble. Yeah, I was just going to say,
what about Ryan, the pick six?
Ryan just said a quarterback who had 3 interceptions and 3 fumbles played okay.
He has one player on offense. His name's Terry McLaurin. He's a rookie.
By the way, all 3 interceptions were his fault. They were terrible throws. The fumbles were his fault. Besides the quarterback sneak, which he ran in the middle of the field as if he was trying to score a touchdown by
exposing
the ball like that. You can run a quarterback sneak. You don't put the ball out like that.
He's the one who physically leaped with the ball in the middle of the field like it was the goal line.
Hey, Brinson, we can't interrupt Sean because we can't hear him if he interrupts him because he's whispering.
Look, Case Keenum has gotten a raw deal because he has no talent around him. Trent Williams is missing. Brandon Scherff is banged up and fighting through it. Terry McLaurin's a stud. I mean, he's a budding superstar, but he's still a rookie.
It's like, said that in January.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Does anyone else raise your hand if you remember Ryan talking about Terry McLaurin? Remember Pete talking about Terry McLaurin?
Oh, please. John's raising his hand. Thank you, John.
Anyway, the point being is that, look, Case Keenum is not going to win a bunch of games, and Jay Gruden says he's not going to make a change. But I'm going to tell you something. If you look at the Redskins schedule, something is very, very, very obvious if you're Dan Snyder. Next week, you're going to New York, and you're playing Danny Dimes. And it's going to be tough to watch Danny Dimes, a.k.a. Daniel Jones, light up your Redskins secondary. That's not very good. Josh Norman had that pick, but he shouldn't have got it. With Dwayne Haskins on the bench, especially against the Giants defense, that is just god-awful. So I would not be surprised if this week at 0-3 is the spot where we see Dan Snyder step in and force somebody's hand. Did Breach just dunk on me for saying that?
Yeah, dunk. I said they're going to do it after week 5, New England. The reason they wouldn't do it this week is because it's a short week. They just played on a Monday night, and that's a lot to put on your rookie quarterback. So I said they'd do it after the Patriots game in week 5. Brinson was up walking, doing laps around his house, so didn't hear me say any of that.
Yeah, sorry. I was actually yelling at my dog to shut the F up out the window. So Ryan, this tweet that I'm getting dunked on is like, this would be a huge deal if he goes in the first round. He went in the 3rd round. And
that's from an agent. What are you talking about? I said Terry McLaurin had a great Senior Bowl, looked sharp at Ohio State's pro day. This would be a huge deal if he were a first round pick.
So you're just buttering up this agent?
No, I'm not. But I feel free to click the link I just put in there from January. The video no longer works. It's the HQ videos go away after a month or whatever. But the video was about how Terry McLaurin impressed at the Senior Bowl.
All right, Ryan, since you also thought that Dwayne Haskins impressed, when do you think he makes his first start?
I'm with John. It doesn't make sense to throw him out there right away. There were some conversations. Actually, I don't know. Was anyone on Twitter actually asking for that on Monday night? I saw people keep saying, there's no way you put him out there. But all I saw people saying was, don't put him out there. And I tend to agree with that because, as Breach just pointed out, he would take a beating and for no clear reason.
You do get the Giants and the Dolphins in the next 3 weeks.
Well, you just mentioned how we know that Dan Snyder loves Haskins because their sons went to school together or whatever. And he now also has to face the specter of seeing Danny Dimes out there and being one up by that. I still don't think you put him out there. You have to remember, you don't have to remember. We know that the Redskins offense is dog doo-doo. And that's, I guess you could make the case that the Giants offense isn't much better, but at least they have Evan Engram. Jordan Reed isn't playing because he has the concussions and who knows when he comes back. But they have Terry McLaurin, who I've been talking about since January. But they don't have a running back. Which offensive line is better? They're both probably equally as bad, New York and Washington. But the difference, I would say, is that Daniel Jones has more experience playing in college. We know that Dwayne only played one season. He went off last season, but I would not throw him out there. There's no reason to unless you're Jake Gruden trying to save his job. And he seems so indifferent at this point, wearing those grandma library glasses, that I don't think he cares who plays quarterback. He's calling, as Sean points out, quarterback sneaks, goal line sneaks in the middle of the field. I would just wait. At this point, I would wait to whoever is going to be the next coach. And by the way, Booker McFarland was doing his best to get Jay Gruden fired. He kept talking about whoever's next is going to have a lot of work to do. And that might have been the most accurate thing he said all night.
All right. Lamar?
Lobar.
Let's not get into this bash.
Ryan said it.
No, I mean he's right. That's probably the most correct thing he said all night. Jay Gruden is going to be out of a job soon.
He said it again.
I don't think that's... Is that outrageous? The guy's terrible.
Okay. All right. That's settled down now. Okay.
Jay Gruden is not terrible. No.
Are you talking about Jake Gruden?
Yes, Jay Gruden.
I was like, Jesus, man. I was like, you don't have to burn Booger to the ground here.
No, I said the most correct thing he said all night was that Jay Gruden is going to be looking for a job soon.
Okay. I don't think Jay Gruden will make it.
Is this a football podcast? Are we allowed to talk about football?
Good Lord.
Wow, Ryan's angry.
Jay Gruden was a star?
Arena League star, right?
No, he's the offensive coordinator, man. Tore it up for the Bengals. Get him back, him and Zach Taylor. But let me ask you guys this and really kind of direct it at Sean. Did you think it was weird that the Bears went into a game with an injured kicker and decided...
Yes, good call, Breach.
I mean, that is just... You already have these kicker struggles. The last thing you need to do is throw your kicker in that situation. A kicker is literally the one position where you can call some up on the phone, have them at the stadium within an hour, sign them for a one-game deal, and they're kicking. Like, it's literally that easy. They don't have to learn the offense. They don't have to learn the defense. You don't send out an injured kicker who just won a game for you with a 53-yard field goal who could presumably injure himself worse because it was his kicking leg that was hurt. I mean, it's insane that they did that. That to me epitomizes how the Bears handle special teams. It was mind-boggling.
It was insane. I mean, like, they're like, all right, well, got to try this 45-yarder while we're up by 28 points. Certainly throw for it on fourth down and, like,
right.
Eddie Pinero's leg. You're like, hold on, Eddie, we think you're better for 53. We're going to take a delay of game penalty and back this thing up and just make sure you really got some runway here, pal. I didn't think it made any sense. And then, hey, look, I'm glad they kicked late to push to hit my, to hit the over the point total I needed. But man, I mean, I agree that
I'm not going to kill them for it because
they went that whole preseason thing, like building up to it where they couldn't find a kicker and then it would look like
he made all four of his extra points and he went one or two on his field goals. It was fine.
It's risky.
If he had went out there and had a disaster night, then I think you blame him. But also, I don't think
he went out there and had a Kevin Durant incident where he's got a banged up leg.
Breach. That's the thing. Do we know that it's the kind of injury that it gets worse just by kicking?
If your kicking leg is in pain, you probably shouldn't be using it.
That's from Dr. Breach. I'm just saying I have a hard time believing if the Bears doctors were like, yes, he can kick through it, but if he takes one hit, he's done for the year. I have a hard time believing.
What do you think Trent Williams thinks about the Redskins doctors?
Doo-doo.
Hey, speaking of the Redskins doctors, have you seen the viral, the clip that's gone viral of the guy in the background?
Is that a doctor?
No. But he's like a, he's stirring, Gatorade with a giant bag of, styrofoam cups in a plastic sleeve, which is, you know, might be innocuous, except those things have probably been lying around gathering dirt and dust for a long time. And he's just raking this Gatorade with it. That makes no sense. This is so unsanitary.
Maybe he was trying to poison Jay Gruden.
Maybe Jay Gruden's mixing cyanide into the Gatorade.
Yeah, maybe it's a Breaking Bad situation.
Yeah.
Is he wearing a hazmat suit?
I mean, it's just dunking. I mean, this is insane. Anyway, so the Redskins now 1-17 on Monday Night Football since 1998. That's a true thing. That's incredible. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll tell you about some news around the NFL and rank the teams that are remaining, the currently remaining undefeated teams.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
CBS Wednesday. We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, so we got Terry McLaurin's agent on with us, Ryan Wilson.
Yo, yo, yo.
Who won't stop hyping up Terry McLaurin. Why don't you hype it? Why don't you tell us to draft him in fantasy?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, why didn't you draft him in our 26-team league?
I talked him up. Paris Campbell was supposed to be a better player coming out of college because everyone was talking about Paris Campbell. And then Terry McLaurin has, to date, been better. I think Paris is hurt right now, but.
Hey, Terry McLaurin's going to win Rookie of the Year right now.
Well, if they change quarterbacks,
unless Garrett Bradbury.
No.
If Garrett Bradbury moves to tight end, there's still a chance.
Or Gardner Minshew.
Hey, look, I'm going to tell you something, Ryan. I'm dead serious. If you got to plant your flag on that.
I agree.
You got to bang the table and yell about how much you like Terry McLaurin and like go over the top and tweeting about him and being obnoxious and that way. No, you do.
Own it, man.
There's so much noise out there that no one listens. And if you'd done it, we'd be like, God, Ryan nailed that. Instead, we're like, fake news.
You got to take your victory lap because people will come after you for the ones that you miss on. So take your victory lap, man.
And by the way, also start Terry McLaurin in DFS next week because the Giants stink. Let's go to the news. That was my news thing. Do you like that?
He's on one episode of the CBS Evening News, and now he's got his own theme song.
And now,
newsman Will Brinson. That's what I think of. Just the facts, nothing else.
Cam Newton is out again in Week 4, to no one's surprise. I heard. I heard some stuff about this. The Cam thing is not.
Whoa! You can't. There's nothing more irritating. You do plenty of things more irritating. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't hyperbolize it. But you can't start a sentence like that and then move on. So
I can't. I'm not at liberty to
give us a vague picture of what you're talking about.
I think that the Cam's sort of struggling with this injury.
Okay.
And
so it could be a while.
And of course, Joe Person, the athletic friend of the program, reported that it is a Lisfranc.
Ooh.
Did you report that?
No, I went to school with Joe.
You went to go to school with Joe. William Mary, that's right. Lisfranc injury for Cam. We're not sure how bad it is, but a Lisfranc injury would make sense if he suffered that. First of all, the timing of this, if he suffered that against the Patriots and then re-aggravated against Tampa Bay, I sort of think there's some buzz. Maybe there's some internal conflict between Cam and the organization about maybe how it was handled or like when he went back out there. And I mean, I'm just basing that part on Ron Rivera's statements, right? Like Ron Rivera said a lot of things, that didn't really, like he's like, it's not the foot. Don't worry about the foot. It's not the foot. And then we find out that it's a Lisfranc injury. That's a big deal. And if he re-aggravated on the play that Joe pointed out on Twitter, he was 7 of 8 at the time in that game and then went to total crap against the Buccaneers. And that would make sense because a Lisfranc injury would completely alter your mechanics. If you have a Lisfranc injury, it's in the middle part of your foot, it is going to make it impossible. This red middle part of the foot, Sean, I'm not doing a doctor thing. It would make it impossible to like properly place your weight and adjust to it. And so it makes sense to me that they're sitting him. What would Kyle Allen, yeah, we're going to get Dr. Brinson music. What would Kyle Allen need to do, in order to steal this job, Breach?
Well, I would think that if he wins three more games, because at that point you've won four in a row, and I don't think you can bench a quarterback who has won four games in a row. And the thing is, they've got three very, very winnable games coming up. They've got the Texans, which is going to be the hardest one. But then they play Jacksonville at home. That's winnable. And they play Tampa Bay in London. That's winnable. So then they go in their bye week. And if you've won four in the row at the bye, and that's going to give, you know, Cam's going to have 2 weeks to heal there. So that could be the spot where he's looking to come back. And if you're the Panthers coaching staff, that's an awkward conversation if assuming that Kyle Allen leads them to a win in all three games.
John, it would be his fifth win in a row because he started week 17 last year. And I would imagine that Brinson's Charlotte area phone callers to the radio shows would be sure to bring that up.
I'm telling you, I'm dead serious. We have an email thread with a bunch of friends, and it has gotten heated. It got heated on Monday with debates about Cam Newton. Where
you email with your friends?
Chain, he said text chain, I think. Do you say text or email?
Email.
It's an email thread with like 20. It's like 30 people, 30 email guys, 30 guys on an email.
Nice.
It's too many for a text thread.
By the way, to follow up on what Breach was saying, but another reason that you might see Kyle Allen, you can follow up in a second. Ron Rivera is going to be coaching for his job if they lose these four games. He could be, I mean, they're not going to fire him in week seven, I don't think. But if you're, what are they, 1-6 or whatever, 1-6, that'd be probably.
Ron Rivera, in my opinion, will get the full run of the season.
Guaranteed beyond that.
No. But look, what will happen if Cam is not healthy and Ron Rivera and the Panthers are terrible? And they'll do a full blown reboot, and I believe that they will cut Cam, or maybe he'll do something else. Who knows?
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Maybe he'll call the dogs off. And
what does that mean? You speaking of codes?
Maybe he'll retire. I mean, Andrew Luck is retired. Who knows?
I understood what you were saying, Brinson. Yeah. Don't worry.
I'm just saying. He's had two shoulder surgeries in the last couple of years.
And they can – I'm sure we've mentioned this on the podcast, but there's only $2 million against the cap next year if they can. So they save $19 million by cutting him.
And I've been saying this for weeks and months now. Cam Newton is not going to play next year on a lame duck deal. I just don't think he's going to do it.
But you know what? I think we talk about all this quarterback getting hit and all this stuff. Andrew Luck's the only one that retired. Peyton Manning didn't retire until he was old. Eli Manning didn't retire. He got benched. So we'll see what happens next year. I think Andrew Luck is different in that he – has Jake other interests outside of football.
Jake Locker retired.
Oh, Lord.
I was actually going to make a Jake Locker joke. I was like, don't disrespect Jake Locker. And then Brinson went seriously.
Jay Cutler retired.
But he retired after a long career.
I mean, kind of.
He was in his 30s.
Jay Cutler also retired. So was Andrew Luck. No one really wanted to sign him, too.
I mean, I would guess that the last 3 to 4 years have worn on Cam Newton pretty aggressively. Two shoulder surgeries, and now
what else would he be doing? Though is my question.
I don't know. Making hats.
Okay. Scarves.
Scarf making. Weaving scarves. I don't know. He's a fashion guy. Remember, okay. He was going to France later this summer. Couldn't get the first class ticket. But anyway, I think if Cam Newton doesn't play again this season, and the Panthers win less than 8 games, then there is a pretty good chance that Cam, Ron Rivera, and Marty Herney will all be shown the door by David Tepper, who is a new owner with a lot of money and probably not a lot of patience for lack of success. It's my guess. I don't know. I don't know if they can upgrade from Cam and Ron Rivera and Marty Herney. I think they've all done a pretty good job over the course of their tenure there. But I just think that, I mean, the way that it lines up is not beneficial for them. So Cam Newton's going to miss again. But look, Ron Rivera might go to Rome with Kyle Allen and maybe, you know, who knows? And by the way, he said, what Cam needs right now is time and rest for his foot. We want him at 100% when he's ready, so there's no exact timetable for his return. At this point, we're going to go forward with Kyle as our starter. He added when Cam came back, he would be the starter. As you guys point out, that changes if he wins 4 straight games. Saquon Barkley is not out for the season, so he's got that going for him. He will be out for a while, expected to miss several weeks. I think the estimates we saw were between 4 and 8 weeks. Pat Shermer said, we certainly believe in Wayne Gallman that he'll be able to step in and do his very best. I like that. Like, it's like the same thing.
It's not quite the, like, God forbid I get in there level quote, but that still is not very confidence building. He's going to try hard, guys.
Yeah. It stinks for Daniel Jones to have this happen, because you would love to have Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley at the same time.
Can I present a counter argument to that?
Yeah, I actually like this counter argument, but go ahead.
And I actually meant to do it on yesterday's podcast, but I think while Saquon's, you know, obviously the best player on the Giants, regardless of position, I think there's a chance if Saquon's there, they go really run heavy, conservative Seattle style, where you run the ball on first and second down, and then you set up third and seven, third and eights. And that's the situation, you know, with a bad offensive line, with a rookie quarterback, where defenses know you're passing, you don't want to be in. I think there's a chance that offensively they're forced to get more aggressive because they don't have Saquon, which means they can't just lean on their running game, which means could result in more throwing on first down, more rolling them out. So I think, look, I love Saquon. This is an indictment of him, but sometimes when you have a running back as good as that, we saw it with the Cowboys the last couple of years. Even though they had Dak Prescott, they had Zeke. So they said the offense has to run through him. And as, you know, Jared Dubin on our site has written plenty of times, the Zeke-led offense, for as good as Zeke was, wasn't that efficient. And I think it was the same way for the Giants. So I think this might actually force them to be a little bit more modern, a little bit more aggressive. And I think that could benefit Daniel Jones.
You know what else is the argument that I was going to make is,
that one?
No, it was a different one. That Saquon Barkley's ankle injury is good for the Saquon Barkley. Yeah. No, that's 8 weeks of carries that he's not going to load up in a lost Giants season. So like he's not going to run the ball 360 times this year because he's going to be out 8 weeks and probably be tender when he comes back. So maybe the Giants can do some stuff this offseason, retool around Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, and, he'll be fresher for next year. I don't know. Looking for the optimism there, right?
Yeah. I mean, no production this year, then you got to pay him $25 million a year, 1 year closer to that.
Mm. All right. Elsewhere. I keep going to the wrong Google Doc.
By the way, I love your transition.
DK loves your live Google updates.
When Brinson isn't listening to us, he's looking up something, and the transition is, All right, moving on.
You do that twice on that.
I wasn't listening.
I know what it means.
What was I looking up? I don't know what I was looking up.
Do you want to transition to the next topic or what?
Freddie Kitchens says that he's not considering giving up play calling. We don't have to talk about this. You know why? Because I already talked to it about with Jason Lockefora on Monday's episode. So go listen to that episode.
Can I ask something? Because I scribbled this down while you were talking. At me. In terms of, I wrote down 8 guys that could possibly get fired this year. I think Freddie Kitchens is on that list.
Okay, JLC called me a hot take lunatic for mentioning that.
You mentioned it after week one. Is that what you're referring to? Because I listened to that one.
No, I brought it back.
Okay. I agree. Week one was a little bit early.
Who's your list, Ryan?
Oh,
mutes himself.
Once he muted himself. He just dunked on himself when he went through the work.
Sorry, number one is Jay Gruden. Number two is Dan Quinn, because he is underwhelming in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. He's very likely to get fired.
Yeah, Dougie Marrone is having trouble keeping all the balls in the air in Jacksonville. Frederick Kitchens, or the outhouses, I like to call him. Is there a chance that Adam Gase gets fired? Because I have him on my list.
Yes.
Yeah. Not based on anything that they're doing now, but if Darnold comes back and then Darnold doesn't look good, because he has this built-in excuse now. He didn't just lose his starting quarterback. He lost his backup. And I don't think, for as much as we hate Adam Gase on this podcast, or at least.
You don't hate him. Ryan, he's just terrible.
Yeah. For as much as me and Ryan have been talking, calling Adam Gase doo-doo for the last couple of weeks.
Not him as
I don't
a
think any coach right now is winning with what the Jets have at quarterback. So I can't blame him for this. But if Sam Darnold comes back and he looks bad, then
or worse, he gets hit and his spleen explodes, then Adam Gase is definitely getting fired.
And Sam Darnold might be dead. So let's hope that doesn't happen.
You die.
They said for the Monday Night Football game between the Browns, there's a report during the game. They were like, yeah, the problem is that his spleen is enlarged. So if he takes a hit, he could die. And I was like, yep, that sounds like it could be a little bit of a problem for football.
So Ron Rivera, we talked about him on my list.
Hold on. Allow me, Dr. Brinson, to get in here.
Oh, go ahead. What do you got?
Can result in shock and death. I just Googled it. I beat Brinson to the punch.
Wow. I think Breach is the new doctor of the pod.
Yeah. I got Brinson's PhD.
This is like Scrubs.
Did you just like punch me and steal my doctorate? Like
punch in the spleen.
A ruptured spleen is an emergency medical condition that occurs when the capsule-like covering of the spleen breaks open, pouring blood into your abdominal area. Depending on the size of the rupture, a large amount of internal bleeding can occur. I'm guessing that the rupture would be bad if it happened on a football field.
So what if he comes out there wearing like mounds and mounds of bubble wrap?
Don't start him. Don't bring him back, please. Let him rest. Let him. Don't. This is a spleen and quarterback guy who gets tackled in spleen area plus enlarged spleen. Bad idea.
Ryan, the thing I want to know is where is Mike Tomlin on your list?
Yep. So let me finish my list. Ron Rivera is on there. And then my guy, Matt Patricia, is on there because they started strong. But if they nosedive, that would be two crappy years in a row. You don't think so?
Bob Quinn's got his back. I think if he can get to seven wins, he's not getting fired.
Okay. That's a lot. Lions bar, ladies and gentlemen. Seven wins and you're safe.
Unless you're Jim Caldwell, 97 back-to-back. And then the number eight guy on my list, and it pained me to write this. I had to write with my left hand, Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, sure.
Well, look, man, I'll be honest with you. I'm tired of having great players and being so GD underwhelming. Gosh darn is what I was going to say. Every friggin' year with these players with stupid play calls.
Wasn't it 3 weeks ago you were talking about how like he's going to win Coach of the Year, and now he's going to show us all wrong how he's underappreciated? You said that.
You got the wrong guy, dude.
I don't know. Sounds like only one.
And then you were like, and I went to school with Sean McDermott.
What about Pat Shurmur? Do you think they'll give him an automatic year with Daniel Jones? Or what if he went 3-13? Do you think that's enough to get him canned?
See, I think the Mike Tomlin thing, he's got Big Ben built as an excuse.
Yes, it's a Gase Darnold excuse.
Yeah, and he has a lot of winning seasons. The Steelers have three coaches since 1969.
That's right.
They really, really don't want to fire Mike Tomlin.
Ryan Wilson picked Mike Tomlin to win Coach of the Year on our website. So
yeah, but did I pick him yesterday, Sean? When did I?
I said 3 weeks ago. The story published 20 days ago, actually 21 days ago from tomorrow.
You said
I was
exactly
right.
Quit yelling. Oh, he just screenshot it.
Hear that noise? Sorry.
I picked him to win.
Who did you screenshot?
When they had everyone on the team. But my point is that he could stick around.
You're frozen. You're frozen. Your Skype is freezing up, so I screenshotted you.
Okay. How's my voice? Is it still good?
Me or Ryan?
Sean.
Oh, okay. So listen, the thing is, I think whoever said it is that Tomlin could stick around if he fires the coordinators because of the history he has and all the winning, and he's a player's coach and all that. But at the end of the day, that's where the buck stops. And I, as a fan of the Steelers, I would like to see something different happen. And this is the first time since 07 when he was hired that I've been off the
by the way,
speaking of the Bucs.
I pick Freddie Kitchens to win Coach of the Year. So.
Speaking of the Bucs stopping here, what about Bruce Arians?
No, I mean, that stupid comment. By the way, Breach, what do you think about him walking back the comment? I think that's
what's the worst comment?
Yeah.
That's what he did. He had 24 hours to think about this and somehow said something that was actually worse. So it didn't make sense. And I did see a few tweets today saying, well, he just changed the angle of the kick. But the thing was, the Bucs field goal attempt was from the middle of the field. They literally, Jameis Winston took a snap and fell down 2 yards further back, which they lost on top of the 5 yards. So they actually lost 7 yards and then fell in the middle of the field. So the angle did not matter. It was just literally one of the most mind-boggling coaching decisions in the history of football.
Why can't Bruce Arians get fired? They're 1-2. What if they win three games? They stink. They're bad.
Because he's boys with Jason Light, man. You got to fire both of them.
But he took over a bad team.
Okay.
You got to get Bruce Arians to go.
You're going to let the guy who returned from retirement draft their next quarterback? That's insane.
That was the whole point, was to find out if it could make it work with Jameis Winston. So they're not going to hold it against him if he can't, because nobody else could. And they'll say, all right, you tried with Jameis. It didn't work. Let's get you a new quarterback in here. So I think this is more like a test year for him. I don't think there's any way Arians gets fired this year.
They had five head coaches since 2009.
I
was 27. They've had five head coaches since I turned 27. Get out of here.
I don't think Jameis played that poorly against the Giants either. I watched that game today.
The Giants are awful.
No one plays poorly against the Giants. So.
They were up 28-10 and lost to Danny Dimes on his first start. What are you doing? Tell me he can't get fired. He can get fired.
How dare you, sir?
Can Brian Flores get fired?
See that? I thought I'd put him on my list because, of course, he's with an 0-3 team. But I do wonder if Stephen Ross, the owner, is all in on this rebuilding project that is could very easily blow up in their faces. With I don't know what you do with 40 draft picks. I don't know how
here's
you
pick here's a sneaky one. Mike Vrabel.
No. John might know better because he's the Nashvillian. But I feel like he's – I think the issue there, more so than with Tampa Bay, is the quarterback.
I mean, they're 1-2.
Yeah, I know. They look terrible in the last game.
Yeah, you think Mike Vrabel would cut off his penis to keep his job?
Sean, I feel like you just love saying that word.
I know.
Vrabel? I'm 27. I like to say penis.
I mean, you're
It is your real birthday. Happy birthday.
No, it's 9/11 here, so.
Jeez, Sean.
Jeez, Sean.
Would you – what about Vic Fangio?
Nah.
I could see John Elway getting – he did it to Vance Joseph, and I mean – they have looked like trash. They don't have any sacks. The bread and butter of that team is the defense. Vic Fangio is supposed to know defense, and that team has looked horrible. That is one I could see Elway pulling the trigger.
Firing a coach in back-to-back years after – well, no, Vance Joseph got 2 years, I guess, right?
But still, he got fired last year.
Yeah. And by the way, it came to you like, hey, Vic. Yeah, John, what's going on? I'm going to need you to pack your fanny pack and get on out of here.
And then – the Bears defense will be so good this year that someone will hire Chuck Pagano and then the Bears can hire Vic Fangio right back. Boom.
The Broncos, by the way, have had 6 head coaches since 2009. If you count Eric Studisville as the interim coach for Josh McDaniels.
And you could actually say John Elway's the bigger culprit here than Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Vic Fangio is the one that drove Joe Flacco to Denver to be the quarterback.
And look, Vic Fangio is going to take whatever job he got offered.
Because he never gets offers.
Right, exactly. McDaniels in 09 to 2010. Studeville was the interim for 4 games. John Fox, Gary Kubiak, Vance Joseph, Vic Fangio. Not great, Bob. There's one more. What about Anthony Lynn? Lance Lynn.
The team's going to go 8-8. So are you okay with 8-8?
If the Chargers go 8-8, that is a massive
disaster. I don't think he gets fired at 8-8, though.
Maybe.
I like that we were supposed to rank undefeated teams, and we did the opposite, which was rank coaches that will get fired.
Well, as Debo just pointed out to me, damn it, this turned into a worthwhile conversation to carry us, and we already promised to rank the undefeated teams. So let's rank those undefeated teams. We all agree that the number one team on this list, so we don't need to mess around with it, the number one team is the Buffalo Bills. Who do you guys have at number two? The number one team, obviously, is the New England Patriots. I found this stunning. I'm not sure if it's been updated yet. I hope it has.
Is it a fun fact?
Well,
it's
actually
a stunning fact.
I did the math. I did the math because the update, because I looked at Football Outsiders drive charts on defense. Mm-hmm. And then I did the math for their week 3 game. The Patriots are allowing less than 16 yards per drive.
Yeah, they're better than the offense.
That is unbelievable. The next closest going into Sunday night was the Rams at 22.5.
So listen, before you move, or you can move on, but before we do the number two team, I feel like we should all say the number two team together at the same time because I feel like it could be different.
Detroit.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be different. I feel like at least one person will be different.
But we don't need to say it at the same time.
I mean, no, let's do it at the same time. Come on.
We'll add some intrigue.
And if we all say the same thing, we can all jinx each other. Then no one can talk for the rest of the podcast. Sleep.
We know Sean is going to whisper Chiefs. So on the count of three, we'll all say the number two best team in the
so league. Wait, are we going 1, 2, 3, go?
Yes, John. Three. You're 27. Get with it.
1, 2, 3.
Chiefs.
What'd you say, Brinson?
Cowboys.
Oh, you're the only one. I think it was 3 Chiefs, right?
Yeah. Chiefs. I'll take the Cowboys. I just did it to be a contrarian, but I do think the Cowboys have an argument for being, they have a higher point differential. They might be a more complete team than the Chiefs.
And if the Chiefs played the Dolphins, though, what would the score? If they actually played Mahomes for the full game, 85. I think they would have a legitimate chance to like set the score record.
I have no problem. But you have the Chiefs at 2 if you want. I
have the Cowboys at 3 for what it's worth. So.
I think the Cowboys would give the Chiefs a very good game.
On a neutral field, what's the line?
The Chiefs would be
-3. Chiefs by 4.
Yeah, probably Chiefs by 4.
That's closer. Yeah. Well, you think so?
Yeah, because everybody loves betting the Chiefs.
Okay, fair enough.
Everybody loves betting the Cowboys, too. The over-under would be high. I think there would be a lot of points scored in that game.
Can I point something out, by the way? I know Jay Gruden played on Monday night, but John Gruden traded Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper for those first round picks. The Raiders would be incredible, a much better team with those players. I just want to point that out because one plays on the Cowboys and one plays on the Bears, which you talked about.
Hot take. Ryan thinks the Raiders would be better with Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper than without
I just harken back to it because everyone loves draft picks. Everyone thinks first round picks are the magical elixir to everything. And you know, it's, and you actually pointed this out on Twitter, Sean, that I'm trying to back you up as you try to dunk on me and you get jammed by the, get rim checked. You pointed out on Twitter that, I know that the draft, the Twitter
stuff.
The what? What'd you say?
Rim stuffed, not yes. Rim checked.
I was like, Jesus, Sean, did you?
I mean, say this guy's, can you believe this guy's 27 years old and lives
semantics.
By a bedroom apartment?
A la Pino Grigio deep doing an NFL podcast on his 27th birthday.
Whispering. But anyway, Sean made this point on Twitter that a lot of the Twitter know-it-alls think the draft picks are better than
having to go back. Pete likes to call them the Twitter police.
The Twitter police, thank you.
Sergeant Brinson and the Twitter police.
It makes no sense to me why on any planet that would make sense to trade the Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. If you can't make Amari Cooper work in your offense is terrible.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry.
Does anybody, who do you guys, Ryan and John, who do you have at number three behind the, I have, obviously have the Chiefs at three.
I have the Cowboys. I bet John does too.
I have the Cowboys because Ryan and I are back on the same page.
Yeah, look who's Mr. Point Differential now, Breach. Just taking the team with the higher point differential.
What? That is ridiculous, Sean.
My stick.
Sean, who do you have at number four?
The Green Bay Packers.
Ooh, I'm with you. I got them at four, too. Ryan,
who because of their defense, not their offense.
Their defense is top five in the league.
Yeah.
It is very, very good.
I didn't buy in until I saw them. But
they're very good.
They're very good.
Yep. But you saw them one.
Huh?
So week one against the Bears.
Yeah, I'm saying, but before the year, season, I was calling into question because they were supposed to be good last year too, and they didn't make the leap.
For sure. Okay, cool. I thought you were like saying until I saw, I was like,
No. Until these, all three games, until I've seen all three games, then I'm fully on board with them being a top five defense.
Okay. Who you got, Breach, at number three?
At number four, I have also the Green Bay Packers. I don't want to go last because then it sounds like I'm copying you guys. But I
haven't gone yet.
Okay, your turn, Wilson.
Rams.
Oh, I knew you were going to say the Rams. I didn't want to say that because then it looked like we were agreeing again. I don't want people to think this is fixed.
Right. No, I got the Rams at four.
I got the Rams at five.
I got the Rams at five, too.
Sean, what's your panic level on the possibility that the Packers – did you see the meme that was out there about the Ninja Turtle meme? Aaron Nagler tweeted it out, but it's like, you know, it's like the Splinter meme where Splinter's big and the Ninja Turtles are small. It was like Aaron Rodgers and the Packers defense. And it was like, and now there's like, the suggestion was that now it is the Packers defense that may carry Aaron Rodgers. Cause Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Has he looked that good?
No, I mean, the Matt LaFleur offense, I think has been and it's only three games, obviously, but it's been really disappointing. The reason why I have the Packers above the Rams is because if you're still talking about the Packers in the playoffs and that defense is going to hold opponents, you know, to 14 to 20 points, if you got Aaron Rodgers on the other side, it doesn't matter if you're in a terrible offense or not because he can still single-handedly, you know, piece together a touchdown drive. And pull a rabbit out of his hat, as a great commentator would say. So, that's why I have the Packers at four. And you're right. What would be scary is if this offense actually does start to roll along and you combine them with that defense, then you're talking about they're rivaling the Patriots and Chiefs.
That was my, so what's your panic level?
Sounds like zero.
Low, very low.
So you think Aaron Rodgers is washed up?
Not Wash. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in football, but I think his days as the best quarterback is long gone.
I'm laughing because I can see Sean's neighbor with his ear to the wall, like just yelling, Sean, this is stupid takes.
No, my neighbor's a nice guy. Let's not – come on.
He's a Packers.
No, I think he would just –
no one – let's be real. You guys hate the fact that three times a week you get to listen to me yell about football. Imagine if you weren't even in the conversation, but you could just hear one side of it, and it's me yelling about Mitch Trubisky winning MVP. Like, that would annoy anyone.
Yeah, well, if your neighbor listened to the podcast, he wouldn't only listen to one side. I could hear all of it.
Maybe
Sean,
he'll listen to this one.
Where is the gap here? Is it between the Cowboys and the Rams, or the Rams and the Packers? And if wherever it is, like, how big is the gap? Like, do you put the Cowboys in the elite teams? I do, obviously, because I have them at two with the Chiefs and the Patriots. But are the Packers right there? The Rams right there? What do you think?
I have multiple tiers. So I have the Patriots, Chiefs in their own tier. And then I have the Cowboys and Packers in their own tier. And then I think I have I don't want to spoil my list, but then I have the Bills alone in their own tier, and then I have the 49ers and Lions on their own tier.
Can you say tier more often? You said tier 45 times. You said tier 37
times. I have 49 tiers for eight teams.
I think
just kidding, because Sean will probably spend most of his birthday crying.
I think everyone agrees it's the Pats. Everyone but Sean agrees it's the Pats, the Chiefs, and the Cowboys in one tier. I had the Rams just above the Packers. I think the thing's right with the Packers.
So the gap then is between the Cowboys and the Rams slash Packers. Like it's okay.
Yeah.
I think that's probably right. But ironically, it's because Sean McVay's offense hasn't looked great. Jared Goff is sort of
just look better than the Packers offense.
Sure, but like, and because Aaron Rodgers hasn't, you know, been very good as well. Who do you have next?
Number six. I think we're on number six. Yeah, right.
Sure.
I have the Sean's favorite team, the Buffalo Bills.
As do I.
Trying to make sure I didn't miss anybody.
Well, there's only two teams left.
Yeah, that's fine. No, there's three teams left because the Lions are undefeated. Boom in your face.
Whoa, that was a boom in your face.
Nice layup, Brenton.
I will. That's like a
Tim Duncan off the backboard.
It's a turnaround
finger roll.
That's a free throw bank shot. Way to go.
Underhand.
It's like the underhand with the backspin.
Yeah, I think the Bills are there. Their defense is really good.
So let me ask this, though. Why are we all sleeping on it? If you look at Football Outsiders through 2 weeks, San Francisco's the third-ranked team behind the Pats and the Ravens before they lost. Why are we all sleeping on the 49ers?
Well, 2 weeks, DVOA does not account for opponent through 2 weeks, right?
I think it takes Jameis Winston gave them their first game of the season. Jameis Winston gave
two
them
pick sixes.
The first game of the season. They got to play against Mason Rudolph, who was absolute trash, and then the Bengals. Like, what? Come on now. Anybody would be top five DVOA if they went up against that schedule to start the season and got the gifts the 49ers have been giving.
That the 49ers defensive line, which was supposed to be its strength, has been awesome. And if you've got a great defensive line like that, and you got a quarterback who can make enough throws in a Kyle Shanahan offense where he's scheming guys open, and you can get enough out of your running backs like they do, then, and I think this team can get better. Like, they haven't been that good offensively, right? I mean,
they turned the ball over five times on Sunday.
As you pointed out, Sean, those are crazy turnovers. They weren't even like bad decisions. They were just people literally dropping the ball. I think the offense is coming together.
I would put the Bills, Lions, and 49ers all in the same tier, personally, because.
What? Stop with the Lions. What are you doing?
They're 2-0-1.
They're 2-0-1.
They're not the same Sean tier.
How many defeats have the Lions suffered?
Zero defeats.
So you would say they're then.
But they're not in the same conversation as the Bills and 49ers.
Well, they quite literally are. That's the conversation.
All right. Then here's the question I think Ryan maybe is asking without asking it. Five of the eight teams that are undefeated are from the NFC. How many of those five teams do you think will miss the playoffs?
Thank you.
I don't think that's the question Ryan was going for. That's a good
question. I know. It's a good question.
John just threw your free throw into the bleachers.
He just went Nick Nolte on blue chips and like grabbed the ball, punted it into the stands. I think the Cowboys are a lock for the playoffs. I think the Cowboys are the only lock for the playoffs of the undefeated NFC teams because it would not stun me at all if either – like. I think the NFC North is, I mean, there are four potential playoff teams in there. The Lions could easily be three. Well, Ryan, no, I know that four aren't going to make the playoffs because only from one.
You said easily. The Lions are not making the playoffs. John just said that they're not getting to seven wins, and I agree with that.
Did John say that?
Any one of the NFC North teams could win that division and make the playoffs.
Except for the Lions.
No, what are you talking about?
They could not win the division, Brenton. I will bet you anything you want right now.
I'm actually
the Lions are not winning that division. You name the price and the odds.
Unless Rodgers, Cousins, Mack, and like Trubisky get hurt, that's not happening.
Okay.
And the Bears forfeit the rest of their games.
Have you ever seen anyone get a free throw block three times in one shot?
Hold on. I got to find something.
What are you going to find? What are you looking up that could possibly confirm that the Lions are going to? What's he doing?
He's holding his phone to the mic
next week, and Drew Brees is staying in LA. So here's the thing: if he's out, for, let's just say, same timeline as Roethlisberger, let's say 3 to 5 weeks, their season's over. Like, this isn't – I like Mason Rudolph. I think the Steelers could win one or two games with him. The Saints are not winning anything with Teddy Bridgewater. They're not going to beat the Seahawks in Seattle next week. They have a 0% chance of that happening.
It's higher than zero. It's probably like 7.
No, it's 0.
Some listener said that to me. He's like, you got to play that back on the pod.
It's
breach from a few weeks. Could y'all hear that enough?
Yeah, we heard it plenty.
We should sure to note that I am the top against the spread picker at CBS Sports. Since I had that thrown in my face, I just want to throw out that fun fact.
By the way, I'm fully now on board with getting Brinson the soundboard, because for people who don't know, he was just holding his phone on speaker to the microphone.
Well, somebody clipped it from the Alexander Ward, who's a big fan of the show. Listen, clipped it from he was listening to it after he went back and found it. Was like, hey, you should.
By the way, that has nothing to do.
Blocked Alexander Ward on Twitter.
Nothing to do with Brinson's hot take about the Lions making the playoffs.
Also, speaking of fake news from Breach, he's not in first. Dubin's in first. You're one game back of Dubin.
What?
You got dunked on. All right. Are the 49ers going to make the playoffs?
I don't think so. But you know what? Right now, they're better than Seattle. And I like Seattle coming in. So.
I think the 49ers can win that division easily.
Oh, stop it. You think every team could win the division? In every division?
They're 3-0.
Hot take. Brenton thinks undefeated team could win division.
The
Lions haven't lost a game, so they could win the division.
They're on pace for how many wins?
Oh, my God. All right, we got to get out of here. This is ridiculous. Let's get out in under an hour.
We broke them, finally.
Here's a fun fact, because we ranked all...
The only fun fact of the podcast. Don't pressure. Don't mess it up.
We ranked all of the undefeated teams. And so here's the thing. You do not want to be the last remaining undefeated team, because that team never wins the Super Bowl. The last time it happened was 2006 with the Colts.
You said never.
And then what did he say?
Yeah. It was a fun fact. The delivery was lacking, though.
Yeah.
It's only happened once this century. How about that, Brinton?
Nice.
It would not be 0% then.
I just went for the deep to tell me to rap for like 20 minutes. We haven't done a mailbag in a while. We're going to bring that back. Yeah, mailbag. But we're going to do a bonus mailbag edition. So go on Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star rating, or you can do it in the Facebook group. Drop us a note. Leave us a question. We're going to do a big mailbag, bonus mailbag. Drop it. It can be about football, fantasy, life, whatever. Sean's birthday, what he did, dating life. We don't care. Anything, we'll answer it. You guys let us know. And, we'll answer all those questions. So drop some reviews on there. In the meantime, rate, review, subscribe, and talk to you guys tomorrow.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.